Blog Talk Radio.
Every year, millions of Americans are exposed to a contagious virus.
What is this virus? It's stigma.
Stigma promotes an environment of shame,
fear, and silence,
which prevents millions of people from seeking help.
But there's good news.
The National Alliance on Mental Illness believes stigma towards mental illness is 100% curable.
So do yourself and everyone a favor.
Go to curestigma.org and get tested for stigma.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keyes. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keyes. Lots of cool pictures and lots of great giveaways, so I encourage you to follow. And also, you can check us out on Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, iTunes, as well as here at Blog Talk Radio. Well, this evening, I mean, I have an expert, a goat, if you will, as the young people say, in this field of theater, film, television. He's a writer. He is a teacher. He's a producer. I'm not sure if he's in the circus. No, I'm just playing. But he's all the previous things I mentioned. This is actor Javon Johnson. Good evening.
Hey, good evening, Joy. How you doing?
I am great. I'm so happy that you're here this evening. You're on the Oval now. You want to tell them?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just so you know, I actually have been in the circus.
You know what?
I've been
you better
in the circus
stop.
For 47 years now. It's called America. But carry on.
Look, we're going to talk about the circus that's been happening the last week, okay? The circus that's happening at the Capitol. Did you try out for that?
No, I wasn't right fit for that one.
You wasn't the right fit. I didn't think so. Yeah, that was kind of tight guess.
Right fit,
yeah.
Yeah, they decided to go in a different direction on that one.
Different direction, yeah. See, and you didn't take
it. Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not, you know, the right fit. You didn't take that personal. You have to understand you get a lot of no's in this business.
Yeah, and some no's are good no's, you know, and that just means not right now. So, you know what I mean? So you have to look at those things.
Let's talk about the Oval. Yeah. That's what you're on right now. It's coming up for second season. Tell the audience a little bit about the show and your character.
Considering the millions of people that watch season one, I don't know how many people I need to tell about the show. Other than it was loaded. It probably OD'd on twists and turns and drama. Like, that show is packed with drama from episode to episode, which is and a wonderful, talented cast too, as well, and storytelling there. But yeah, if you want to get into a show that's going to keep you on edge from episode to episode, and wondering what's going to happen next, definitely it is The Oval. And I think one of the appeals of The Oval is that when you look at this first family and you say, wow, this, you know, the White House will never be that crazy. It'll never be a first family like that. Well, we'll just leave it at that.
Yes. I mean, I will testify to it. I mean, your family alone on the show, you know, you play the butler at the White House, but your family has a lot of drama with it on the show with your son, your daughter-in-law, and your wife.
Right.
I mean, the latest was your wife, you know. Let me ask you, you know, how are you dealing, like you deal with a lot of young people. Do you talk to them about this circus that we're going through in real life when you're teaching? Do they come to you with questions at all about what's going on now in the world?
Not necessarily specifically. It might not be specifically to what's happening politically in the world, but, you know, my focus is about life in general. So they're already operating in a way where they're they're looking inside of themselves and looking for understanding first within themselves so they can better understand the world around them. Because sometimes if you don't know yourself, then you can never understand the process, the madness that you're subjected to. So the focus of, in terms of dealing with young people and training them, it's an inside out process. So we got to start inside so that you're prepared to stand in the midst of all the madness. So the more you know who you are, the more you know which direction you want to go in and the places you should be and how you should be focused and goal-oriented. So they're kind of already operating in that way, and so that they can have a better understanding of this is what's happening over there, but this is what's happening with me, and I don't need to participate in that, or this is how I participate in that because I understand who I am first.
What would you tell a younger Javon Johnson, say the 20-year-old Javon or the 15-year-old, based on what you've learned now in your life? What is something you might tell your younger self?
I would tell my younger self that sometimes you are unaware of the greatness that is in you, and just be patient and stay open and allow yourself to grow into it, because we all have that type of destiny, I think, in terms of calling. What is our calling, our purpose? And I think the sooner you recognize your purpose, the more room you give yourself to be in your greatness. You know, if you take someone like Chadwick Boseman, whose life was, you know, a different amount, whose life was cut short, but look at what he did in that amount of time. You know, because he had been walking in his purpose for quite some time, and he knew very early on what he wanted out of life and what his service to this world was. And he accomplished that much in a short amount of time. He did way more than most people have done in 30, 40 years in the business. He did it.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
So,
but
that was
a
man that walked
for many years. You guys were friends for many years. And you wrote a film called Heaven, and he directed that. Tell us a little bit about that short film.
Chadwick and I have been working together since he was, coming from the same hometown in Anderson, South Carolina. He was 3 years younger than me, so when we were in Anderson, I didn't really spend a lot of time with him because I was older, and I spent time with his family members. But we became close when he was at Howard University. That's when we really started to get really connected and build a friendship. So long before Chadwick didn't even go to L.A. to be an actor. Most people don't know that. He went to L.A. to direct get his play called Deep Azure adapted into a film and direct that and get that produced. That's why he went to L.A., and I was a part of that. I was the cast of that show. We did that show at the Apollo. We did it at Congo Square Theater Company, which I'm a founding ensemble member in Chicago. We did the world premiere production of his play Deep Azure there. We did it at the Apollo, and that's what he went to L.A. for, because he really wanted to be a director, and most of us didn't get to see that side of him as much as we saw him as an actor. But, yeah, we had done a lot of work together prior to him becoming the superstar that he had ultimately became.
I mean, you are an actor. You are also this other person, the teacher, the writer, filmmaker, producer. What do you think your purpose is? Is it all those things, or is it one thing and you're just kind of dabbling in the others? What is your purpose?
No, I think my purpose is, one, to help people find their voice and their purpose. I mean, I'm throwing the word purpose around a lot, but that is my purpose. My purpose is aligned with other people fulfilling and understanding what their purpose is. So all the work that I do, and which is why I enjoy teaching so much, is because my teaching is focused on giving you a voice and helping you find self-value, because the black community, in terms of my experience in teaching people of color, there is such a degree of lack of self-worth. And a lot of that comes as a part of your environment, your history, your upbringing. Somehow, somewhere down the line, you didn't feel like you were worth anything. So you dreamed small. You didn't think that you mattered as much. And a lot of that has to do with the way America is now today, So I spent a lot of time getting people to understand the value of who they are and the value of their experiences, and your life is worth something to somebody else. and your life can change somebody else's life. Your life could elevate somebody out of their darkness, and you have to know that so that you can find your purpose. And that has since become my purpose, even in my work. You know, if you read a lot of my original stuff, not the stuff that I'm hired to do, because that's different, but the stuff that's organic and original for me, there's always that the story, the theme of it is always about building people in some way, getting them connected to truth and honesty. That's kind of like a drive, a running theme in most of my work.
Now, when you're writing, do you use a computer? Do you write with pen and paper? What is your process for writing?
Well, you know, we're in a different era now. Back in the day, it was all I used to write by hand. I used to write by hand, and I thought I would never, you know, use a typewriter. You know, most people don't even know what a typewriter is no more. But I thought I would never use a typewriter. I never use a keyboard. But then eventually, for time's sake, I had to adjust. So now everything is on a laptop. It's just more convenient.
Now, where do you write?
Connecting with the, the process of writing by hand is a different aesthetic in terms of the connection to the words and what you're writing. It's a bit more personal, and it's a bit more invested when you can just sit there and labor in the penmanship that's actually physical in that way. But I had to learn to give that up for the keyboard.
You know, they say that it's easier to memorize things once you have written them with your hand. There's something to do with the connection of your hand, the physical movement of your hand and your brain together and writing things out, and then it helps with the memory. Now that we have this computer age, I wonder what the theories are about, you know, young kids, they're always on their phone with their thumbs, you know, on the computer.
Yeah.
I wonder what the theories are
we don't even write full words anymore. We don't even spell words all the way out anymore. We only appreciate the words.
Phone numbers? Do you remember pay phones?
I do.
You had to memorize the phone number?
No,
it's crazy,
my mom,
right?
Number. It's just mom. That's it.
Right? Exactly. It's just mom, Dan, Joe, Susie, right, on your phone.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So who's your favorite playwright? Do you have a favorite playwright, or maybe the top three?
My favorite playwright is the late, great August Wilson, who had a profound influence on my work and who I am as an artist, and even as a black man, you know. His work was very heavily impacted my journey into becoming who I am as an artist. I knew him personally, and just the greatness of his penmanship really set me on my course. So he would be my favorite playwright.
How about your favorite filmmaker? Do you have a favorite film or filmmaker, and why are they the favorite?
You know, I don't know if I have a favorite filmmaker, because I like too many. You know, I just like a really good movie, good storytelling. And I remember I have moments where films really opened my eyes in that way. And I remember one of the moments I'll never forget is walking out of the theater after seeing John Singleton's Boys in the Hood. Like, I thought that was a profound movie that did all the right things in terms of letting the black community and the world see that world and what we're dealing with and the tragedy of it all. I think he did that wonderfully in that piece of cinema. But, you know, I also love movies like Forrest Gump, Shawshank Redemption. There's a lot of classics that are great storytelling. So for me, it's just a wonderful, great storytelling is what I look for. And then beyond that, of course, performance and execution and production and all that stuff. But the story is what's most important to me.
Now, as an actor, how do you
memorize
your lines?
One of my favorite movies
of all
time is Five Heartbeats.
No,
also.
Oh, Five
I was
Heartbeats?
Say Five
yes.
Heartbeats is like, yeah, I could watch that. I could watch that movie all the time. Robert Townsend's Five Heartbeats. I just think that is so. It's just a fascinating movie to me, and I think it was well done. That's a great storytelling as well. But so many memorable moments and characters in that film is a classic for me.
What about Cooley High? Do you remember Cooley High? I don't know if that's.
Oh, come on,
your...
Cooley High. Yeah, of
okay.
course. So you're going back to like Cooley High.
I don't know.
Cooley High,
age you would
not know. Lean on Me and all those, like, I'll try not to go back that far, but okay, thanks. Thanks,
oh,
Joy.
Okay. You don't want to, I understand. For the audience sake. For the audience
sake. Now my back hurts because you asked that question.
Now, how about when you're memorizing lines? Do you have a certain process, things that you do to help you memorize your lines?
No, I don't have a process. I just have a, you know, my process in terms of memorization, that memorization is the last thing I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the connecting to this world and to this character and how do I find my way into it, and then I allow the words to follow that up. So by the time I get to the point where I need to sit down and actually memorize, the words should already be a part of me because I've approached it from a different angle. So it's been less time actually mechanically memorizing the words as much as I've allowed the words already to seep into my spirit and I'm already a part of the words. So that's kind of how I deal with that. Now, I'll say this, working for Tyler Perry and memorization is slightly different because there's a lot more content. Because there's a lot more content and there's a short amount of time. So Tyler works very fast. So for an actor, you have to deal with an entire season of material. So we might have 25 episodes to look at versus looking at one hour episode and you're just working on that content. You're working on 20 to 25 episodes at one time. And the shooting of that is not in sequence. So you might be shooting episode 5, 8, 12, and 17 all in one day, pieces of it. So there's a lot more, there's a bigger demand on you as an actor in that scenario. So sometimes it is about, man, I just got to memorize these lines because I don't have time to do a lot of the other stuff or to allow myself to sit and process too long. So that's a little different.
Do you have a favorite episode from this first season of The Oval that you like would go back and watch yourself?
I don't remember which episode it was, but the one where I had to fight off the thugs in the alley and save the first lady, the president, the first daughter.
The daughter. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I had to fight off about 3 or 4 thugs because I looked like an action hero. I was like, okay, I like that. I like watching myself look like
machismo.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that. Like, look at
Now, let me ask you, is it hard when you're doing, like, physical acting to remember your lines and your blocking? How do you remember, like, the blocking and things? And also, you know, some people might want to know, like, how many takes? Because sometimes you could be on the set and they do, like, 20 takes, and other times it's one take. How's Tyler with that? Is he, like, a one-take guy, or is he, like, 16 takes?
Tyler is a one-take guy, and that's, you know, if you get 2 takes, that's a blessing. We got to hit it and quit it because, again, Tyler works very fast. You know what I mean? So he gets a lot done in a very short amount of time. So it's all about the preparation coming into it. So when you get on set, you shouldn't have the issue of whether or not you know your lines. And blocking is going to happen very quickly. So once blocking happens, you know where you're going, what you're doing, the camera is rolling. And sometimes it's a hit and miss. Sometimes you hit it and sometimes you don't because you're moving so fast. But you do the best you can within those circumstances. But it's very rare that you get, you know, a second or third take.
What scares Javon Johnson?
Not fulfilling my purpose, like falling short of helping others see themselves and the power that they have. I think if I stop doing that, that would be tragic for me.
What makes Javon Johnson laugh?
That question.
Okay.
That question. You know what, to be honest with you, I'm one of those guys who laugh at things that I probably shouldn't laugh at. Like, I think that laughter is medicine. And so there are some things that are very serious, and I'll find a way to smile or chuckle about it. Just because I really believe in the medicine of laughter. And I think it's okay. sometimes to allow that to be present in scenarios where people will judge it and say you shouldn't be laughing. I'm like, well, no, I'm not gonna, you know, this is not gonna send me down the black hole. You know, I'm gonna keep this light, and I understand. You know, even if I understand the severity of it, even if I understand it, sometimes I might laugh. But you know, black folks too, we tend to laugh at stuff. You know, your uncle got one leg. We gonna make fun of his uncle. You know, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, I think comes out of us being a people of survival. You know, we survive. We're people who have survived a lot of trauma. So we got song and laughter is a way to get through some things sometimes.
You know, men don't have the ability, or the society's not giving them the opportunity to express all their different emotions. But you as an actor, do you feel you more in touch with your emotions as a man and more comfortable expressing a variety of emotions?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct on that, because society doesn't, and there's a lot of stigma and stereotypes and things, and we got to feel like we got to stick our chest out rather than hold our head down, because it's a sign of weakness. But the one thing I say about one of the greatest gifts of this art form of being an actor and being in the arts is that it gives you permission to let all of that go and to show the world all of your vulnerability, all of your fears, all of your failures and dreams. And so as a man, I can't wait to get into the world of the arts and show you what's inside of me that society says, don't show me that because I'm going to judge you if you do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the greatest gifts of being an artist, is that you get the opportunity to show what's really there. And instead of getting criticized, you get a standing ovation.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the benefit. Now, you have what is called the Bear Fruit Conservatory. Tell the audience about that.
Bear Fruit Conservatory is a performing arts training center that I'm establishing in South Carolina. One, because Chadwick Boseman and I, being from the same hometown, there was not much there to contribute to where we ended up in our careers in entertainment. But that doesn't mean that there's not other talented people in that community. And so one of my mission was to provide a center for not just training, but competitive training, professional training. And also with the school, Bear Fruit Conservatory, there's also Bear Fruit Entertainment, because part of the mission is not only am I going to train you, provide a facility for you to train and be competitive in the industry, I'm also going to provide a production company so that while you're training, you come out of the school, you're actually getting professional experience. So if you decide to go to New York or go to L.A., you're going to New York and L.A. with a reel. You're going there with credits. You got a resume. You got a bio. You got everything you need, so you're not going into these larger markets with your hands out all the time asking for something. You're going to them saying, this is what I have to offer. How can we work together? So you get a kind of a full experience here in the state of South Carolina, because we just don't have anything here like that can keep people at home and allow them to dream at home and foster and nourish that dream in their backyards. When I look at me, I had to leave all the time. For me to get to where I am, I had to spend a lot of time outside of South Carolina. So a lot of the work, if I didn't do something on TV or film, most of my family didn't see it, because most of them couldn't drive to Chicago or get to Chicago or New York or these other places and get to L.A. So I come out of theater. So a lot of my work, my family didn't get to see, because I couldn't work at home.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, there was nothing here. So that became the impetus for me to establish this thing, because there's a lot of people here who have dormant dreams, who are spending 30, 40 years in the textile automotive industry, but they always wanted to be a poet or a novelist or an actor or a musician, all these things they wanted to be. But the community didn't give them any outlets for it.
Yeah, I think that's really important, especially now with technology taking over so many jobs. Places where there was, you know, the Industrial Revolution, it's not really going to work anymore. And people need some kind of hope. And I think the arts gives people hope, you know, for all different things. Even if
Absolutely.
They never become, you know, like a famous, you know, star on Hollywood Boulevard type of thing person, even just taking it for a short period of time, taking acting classes, I think it will really help a lot of people. It's like therapeutic in a way. It can be therapeutic, I think, taking acting classes. What does Javon Johnson eat for breakfast?
I really don't eat much. I try to stick to egg whites, avocados, and maybe some turkey meat. I try to stay away from – I'm trying to lose 10 pounds.
Okay.
Pray for me, because it's not going well. I'm trying to look like Von Hebron. You know, I'm trying to like Barry on the Oval. And Richard
Von
is just not
said
doing
he
a good
works
job,
out like seven times a week or something crazy, like every day
Von's a young dude. He can do that. Like, he can be motivated to do all that. He got all that testosterone, and he got to do something with it. So I talked to Von about 15 years.
Oh my God! Now, do you like to travel? Do you have a favorite place you like to go and travel? If it wasn't COVID, where would you go?
I do like to travel. One of my favorite cities is actually Chicago, especially during the spring and summer. I just think that Chicago has so much to offer for everybody. It may be a little segregated in some places, but any and everybody has something in the city of Chicago that speaks to their culture. And that's one of my favorite cities to visit a lot. I have been to Alaska, and I've been to Poland. I did a project in Poland. I actually loved being in Poland. I thought I would not like Poland at all.
Oh, my God. You've been to
Poland?
I've been to Poland. I've been to Poland for like 5 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, I went
there.
Where
in Poland?
I went to... oh gosh, what was it? I know I went to Warsaw. I went to the concentration camp. Yeah, Warsaw.
Mm-hmm.
I went over there. It was a couple of cities I can't remember right now. But I went to visit the concentration camps over there. Yeah, that was an experience. I went to the big cathedral where I saw the black Virgin Mary. What was really fascinating was seeing the painting of the Black Virgin Mary and seeing all these non-melanin folks on their knees walking around praying to her and worshiping her. I said, man, if they could see this visual in America, like, that blew my mind to see white folks on their knees worshiping something that had a person of color, the image of a person of color. And
they wouldn't
like,
be ready for it. They're not ready
amazing.
For it. Look, they're not ready. They're not ready.
Yeah.
I mean,
not
what
at
happened
all.
This week shows, you know, that this half this country is not ready to move ahead, to shift their paradigm thinking about the globe. It's not just America. There is a globe, and everything is all interconnected. You know, they're not ready for
it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So now, do you know when is the second season of The Oval starting? Is it in February or January? When is that starting? Do you know?
The only official announcement I'm aware of is the month of February, next month. So the official date, I don't know yet, but apparently February is the month.
February is the month. So now, what do you eat for dinner? Do you eat avocado for dinner? Do you eat catfish stew? Because I've been reading about all this food in South Carolina. Can you cook?
Joy, I'm trying not to eat anything right now. I'm trying to lose 10 pounds.
Should I not be mentioning that?
Yeah, I'm not trying to eat nothing. I'm trying to just see your stomach go away. That's all.
You can't starve yourself.
You know, this
you
is all. This is all.
You gotta feed it.
Listen, I got a bunch of COVID calories and holiday fat. You know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I'm trying to bounce back now.
All right. I'm going to pray for you. I'm already lighting the candle.
Thank you.
And I have a picture of the black. you know, I'm working with the Polish in Philadelphia. There's a big Polish community.
Thank
okay,
you.
So I'll go
oh,
to
wow.
I'll go
okay.
and talk to them. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Well, Javon, it's been a pleasure having you on this evening. I can't wait to see the second season of The Oval, and I wish you so much success with this conservatory. I really appreciate. I'm a licensed social worker. I have background in theater, so I really appreciate you creating a space. A safe space for people to learn about the arts and support the arts. I really like that.
Thank you.
Well, you have a great evening,
okay?
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you, Joy. No, I was just going to say in terms of what you thought, it's not always about us teaching and grooming celebrities and stars. It's about developing people. And so that's if you think about the conservatory, that's our primary focus. If you become a star as a result of that, that's great. But we're working on self first, and that's the focus.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you so much. And next time I talk to you, you're going to be 10 pounds lighter because I will have prayed for you.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great evening, okay?
You too, Joy. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with actor Javon Johnson from BET's The Oval, written, directed, and executive produced by Tyler Perry. The new season two, is coming out in February, but you better catch up on season one, and there's a lot to catch up on. I can't even tell you everything, but you want to catch up on that. Also, you want to check out his Bear Fruit Conservatory. They're having a grand opening Saturday, January 30th in upstate South Carolina. So you want to check that out. He's probably going to post some more information on his Instagram. He's Javon Johnson 1 on Instagram. So you want to check him out there, and you can probably get some more information. Also, there's a link here on my Blog Talk Radio page with the Bear Fruit Conservatory. You guys, thank you so much. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. You guys have a wonderful evening. Stay safe, healthy, wash your hands, and wear your mask.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.